We are at the beginning of Mark chapter 10. And this is when the Pharisees went to Jesus to test him, saying, "Is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife?" Jesus responded to their question, and then later with the disciples, he spoke on remarriage, which is marriage after a divorce. Divorce and remarriage can be very difficult topics because they are deeply personal. They are deeply personal. Many Christians disagree on what is allowed or not allowed with divorce and remarriage, and that alone causes confusion in the body of Christ. Can I or can I not? Is it sinful or is it permissible? I hope to lay out a fairly comprehensive view of biblical divorce and biblical remarriage. First, by looking at the Old Testament. Knowing what God's law said in the Old Testament is going to make it easier to understand Jesus in Mark 10. In Genesis 1 and 2, prior to the fall, we learn that God created marriage to be a one flesh union between one man and one woman. And that union is supposed to remain intact till death, till the death of one of the spouses. Jesus affirmed this in Mark 10 by quoting from Genesis 2 and concluding, "Therefore, what God has joined together, let not man separate." When a death occurs, by the way, there is no prohibition against remarriage for the surviving spouse. You should just know that from the get-go. If your husband or wife dies, the marriage has ended, and you are free to marry someone else as long as they are a Christian. The Apostle Paul affirms these things in Romans 7, 1 Corinthians 7, and 1 Timothy 5. But after the fall, sin started messing things up. Marriages could now become dysfunctional. Husbands and wives could start hurting one another. The marital union could be violated by adultery and other sins. So, in a world of sin, where there is often a victim and an offender, God gave certain allowances for divorce. The first example we have is from Exodus 21. Exodus 21, verses 10 and 11. It says, "If a husband diminished his wife's food, clothing, or sexual relations, then the wife shall go out free with no penalty." The wife shall go out free with no penalty. This category could be called abandonment or desertion. It's when a spouse stops fulfilling their marital duties. Paul talks about this in 1 Corinthians 7, first about physical intimacy. He commands us to not deprive our spouses of intimacy. He says, if you abstain at all, it should be for a very short time. So withholding from your spouse could rise to the level of abandonment, which would permit a divorce for the victim. Paul then talks about literal desertion, when a person sinfully leaves their spouse, moving away from the house and away from the marriage. In that case, Paul says the victim is not under bondage. Rather, they are free. If your spouse decides to leave you, you are not obligated to stay married to them, nor are you required to be celibate for the rest of your life. You may divorce them and you may remarry another Christian. Our church's confession of faith, the Westminster Confession, agrees that adultery and willful desertion are grounds for divorce. The next Old Testament passage is Deuteronomy 24, which we heard this morning. Verse 1 says that when a man finds some nakedness about his wife, he may write her a certificate of divorce and send her away. Here we have the word divorce actually used in the passage. And it's important that we understand what the wife was guilty of. In Hebrew, it uses the word for nakedness, which is ervah, nakedness. That's not what our English translations say, which is why I tripped up when I was reading the passage. I had to remind myself to say it from the Hebrew. It's not the word for uncleanness, which is what most of our translations say. It's the word for nakedness. He finds some nakedness about her. This same word is used in Leviticus 18 to describe a whole host of sexual sins. You shall not uncover the nakedness of your parents, of your siblings, of your in-laws, and on and on and on. I take Deuteronomy 24 then to be describing sexual sin on the wife's part. That's what the nakedness is. Maybe not full-blown adultery, because that could have resulted in the death penalty. But there was some sort of sexual unfaithfulness that permitted the victim to divorce. This was not because of any little thing the husband didn't like. No. It was because the marital union had been violated by sexual sin. And as the victim, the husband was free to marry someone new. The Westminster Confession agrees that victims of adultery may sue out a divorce and marry another. Now, what's interesting about Deuteronomy 24 is that it goes on to affirm the woman's ability to remarry someone new. Verse 2. When she has departed from his house and goes and becomes another man's wife. Here we have remarriage after divorce, not just for the victim, but for the offender. When the husband, the victim, divorced the wife, the offender, was allowed to marry someone new. There was no prohibition on that. The divorce truly ended the marriage. And both were free to remarry. Clearly, we see that divorce and remarriage were allowed in the Old Covenant in certain circumstances. And I think a lot of Christians today don't realize that. Yes, God hates divorce, Malachi 2. But why? Because all divorce is the result of someone's sin. Some divorces are good. Many are bad, but at root, they are because of sin. That's why divorce is always a tragedy, even if it's a blessing to the victim. It's still a tragedy because it shouldn't have happened at all. But sin messes things up. Two things we notice from these laws are that, number one, a just and biblical divorce is initiated by the victim, not the offender. There is no example of an offender initiating a divorce and it being just. A just divorce must have a victim, and it's the victim who initiates. Number two, we learn that in a just divorce initiated by the victim, both parties are free to remarry. Both parties are free to remarry when a just divorce occurs. So these two points will be important as we move into the New Testament. In Mark 10, the Pharisees asked Jesus, "Is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife?" You should notice right away that their question was too broad. It wasn't, "Is it lawful to divorce over sexual sin?" They conveniently left that part out. In Matthew's account of this story, in Matthew 19, he records them as saying this, "Is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife for any reason?" So that helps clarify Mark 10. The Pharisees held to a position of easy divorce. Anything that they weren't happy about could be grounds for divorce. Jesus responded, "What did Moses command you?" Jesus pointed them back to Moses, back to God's laws in the Old Testament. I don't believe that Jesus was destroying the law or changing the law. Rather, he was upholding the law. He was upholding the law. The Pharisees had perverted the law. Jesus was correcting them. So the Pharisees said in verse 4, "Moses permitted a man to write a certificate of divorce and to dismiss her." You know which law they were referencing, right? Deuteronomy 24. But again, they left out the important detail. They didn't mention anything at all about the sexual sin, the nakedness that permits a divorce. They were manipulating the law to justify divorce for any reason. So that is what Jesus is dealing with here. Jesus said in verse 5, "Because of the hardness of your heart, Moses wrote you this precept." We'll have to take some time to unpack this a little bit. What did Jesus mean when he said this? "Because of the hardness of your heart, Moses wrote you this precept." Did he mean that divorce was just a concession to man's sin? As if God said, "Well, it's never good, but people are going to do it anyway, so I might as well let them do it." You might be surprised, but that is the position that many theologians take about this verse. That Jesus was saying divorce was allowed in the Old Testament because Israel was just so stubborn and rebellious. But now it's not allowed. No more divorce in the New Covenant. People also take this and say, "Oh, see, it was Moses' command, not God's." But we need to not go there, because all of God's word is God's word, right? What Moses wrote in Scripture is God's word. So this view doesn't make any sense to me. Does God make concessions for any other sins? I don't think so. So why would he do that for divorce? We need to have a more sensible interpretation. Hardness of heart is not a good thing. In the Bible, it is a bad thing. Having a hard heart means you are in a state of sin. It means you have turned your heart away from someone, or you've hardened your heart against someone, usually God. But in the context of marriage, what would it mean? It would mean that you've turned your heart away from your spouse. Jesus was saying, Moses gave you that precept because of sin. Because of people who harden their hearts against their spouse and become unfaithful. He was alluding back to the nakedness of Deuteronomy 24. Jesus was reminding them that divorce wasn't for just any reason. It was for sins that violate the marital union. An innocent spouse should not be left in bondage to someone who is unfaithful. Whenever divorce is permitted, it is always for the sake of the victim. Finally, Jesus made some comments to the disciples about remarriage, beginning in verse 11. "Whoever divorces his wife and marries another commits adultery against her. And if a woman divorces her husband and marries another, she commits adultery." Taken by themselves, these verses can be confusing. Some Christians believe that Jesus was forbidding all remarriage for both parties, no matter what, because he said it would be adultery. Adultery is something you shouldn't do, so it sounds like you shouldn't remarry after a divorce. This is also why some people think that you're always married in God's eyes. Divorce doesn't really end a marriage, so any remarriage is just adultery. Well, that can't be what Jesus meant, based on all the things that we have already talked about. divorce really did end a marriage. And God did allow remarriage for both parties after a just divorce. Jesus wasn't changing or contradicting those things in Mark 10. I believe we must conclude, therefore, that Jesus was talking about unjust divorce in verses 11 and 12. He's talking about unjust divorce, not just divorce. This is abundantly obvious when we compare Matthew's account. Matthew 19 words it as, "Whoever divorces his wife, except for sexual immorality, and marries another, commits adultery." When Jesus gave the prohibitions on remarriage, he was not talking about victims initiating a just divorce. He was talking about offenders initiating an unjust divorce. Remember, a just divorce is when the victim initiates. So an unjust divorce is when the offender initiates. The offender never has a right to divorce the victim. That would be another sin against the victim. The offender must be repentant and seek reconciliation with their spouse. Jesus' prohibition here isn't even on the victim of an unjust divorce. Okay, the victim can always get remarried. The prohibition is on the offender of an unjust divorce. Paul verifies this in 1 Corinthians 7. A wife is not to depart from her husband, but even if she does depart, let her remain unmarried or be reconciled to her husband. Only the offender is prohibited from remarriage as long as reconciliation is still possible. What does that mean? Well, if the victim were to remarry or die, then reconciliation would no longer be possible, and the offender would then be free to marry. But until then, the offender, the initiator of an unjust divorce, must not remarry or engage in romantic relationships. It would be a sin for the offender to marry someone else because the divorce should have never happened in the first place. It's not that they are still married in God's eyes, okay? The divorce was real, but it was sinful. It was a violation of the marital union. When the divorce is unjust, then the offender's new marriage is also unjust. It's unjust to the victim, to the person that was left behind and hasn't moved on. The offender doesn't get to move on until the victim moves on. In summary, divorce is allowed for sins that violate the marital union, usually some sort of sexual sin. I do think criminal cases such as abuse or murder can also be grounds for divorce. If your spouse is convicted of murder, according to God's law, they should be executed, which would thereby dissolve the marriage. And we don't really follow that in the U.S., do we? We just put murderers in prison for life, if that. But I think a case could be made that if your spouse is in prison for murder, a just divorce would be permissible. A divorce will either be just or unjust. A just and biblical divorce is when the victim initiates the divorce. An unjust and sinful divorce is when the offender initiates. In both cases, the victim is free to remarry. But with an unjust divorce, the offender is not free to remarry. They must repent and try to resurrect the marriage. If you have been the victim of an unfaithful spouse, God's word assures you that divorce is just and it's not wrong for you to marry someone new. But if you initiated an unjust divorce, that makes you the offender, and you should not remarry. What if both parties wanted an unjust divorce, right? Just no fault divorce between both parties? Well, then you have two offenders, both of whom should remain unmarried or be reconciled. If you initiate an unjust divorce, that's a sin, and you must repent of that sin. If you get remarried when you aren't supposed to, that is also a sin, and you must repent. You can't divorce your new spouse. That wouldn't be right. That's not what God is asking you to do. Okay? But you can repent of the former sin and then commit faithfulness to your new spouse. If you hear nothing else today, hear this. Even when divorces and marriages are unjust, the mercy of God can cover them. God will forgive you when you repent, and He will make all things new. You and your marriage will be new creations. Be grateful that God has made us the bride of Christ. Jesus is the supreme husband, the most faithful spouse that we could ever have. He will never betray His union with you, so make sure that you don't betray Him. Follow His example in your own marriage. Never allow unjust divorce to be an option. It's not an option. It is never on the table. Unjust divorce is completely refused from the top. What else? Put off the pornography. Don't flirt with emotional affairs and physical adultery. Don't withhold intimacy from your spouse. Desire one another and enjoy one another. That was God's intention for marriage from the beginning. Husband and wife are to be naked and unashamed. Therefore, what God has joined together, let not man separate.